Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Tuesday, June 14th, 2016. I'm Emily Kwong, stepping in for Peter Apathy with a new addition to the newsroom. You probably heard her voice and some of her wonderful reporting already. This is Catherine Rose. She is our summer intern and will be here through August. Catherine came to us through the UC Berkeley School of Journalism and got here pretty recently, right? We're calculating May 26th.
Yeah, I'll hit 3 weeks at the end of this week, so I'm pretty excited about the 3 week mark.
And you had someone on your plane coming with you to Sitka?
Carl Weathers was on my plane, so I think he must have been here for the Sitka Salmon Derby, maybe. I tried to make eye contact with him, but he had his ball cap pulled down, so he wasn't making eye contact with anyone as they got on the plane. But
how do you interpret Apollo Creed being on your flight as a sign of what? Of good fortune?
Yeah.
Do you think the internship it got off to a pretty epic start?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Everything's been going really smoothly. I've been enjoying myself a lot. I've done 4 or 5 stories in the last 2 weeks.
Now, what are some of those stories?
I interviewed Eric and Sarah Jordan on their troller and got to hear kind of about their experiences weighing fish for the Sitka Salmon Derby, and that was a lot of fun. They were really, really great hosts. I just got back last week from Kruzoff Island. I covered a watershed restoration project. That story hopefully will be airing sometime this week.
I'm so impressed by the way you've just dove in completely to this community.
Thanks for having me.
And lending your talents. And I want to ask first, just to give people a sense of who you are, how old are you? Where'd you grow up?
Yeah.
Where's home?
I'm 27 and I grew up in Langley, Oklahoma, which is a town of about, I want to say like 800. I said 880 the other day and someone Googled it and it was like 849 people. It's a very small town in rural northeastern Oklahoma, kind of in the foothills of the Ozarks, sort of that where the red fern grows part of Oklahoma that's kind of like hilly and green. And I went to the University of Oklahoma and studied political science there. I always knew I wanted to go into public service or do some sort of volunteer gap year after college. At least for a little while. I was originally thinking about the Peace Corps, but kind of got interested in Teach for America while I was in college. So I spent a couple of years in Alabama teaching secondary science, biology, chemistry, physics, life science, physical science, you know, all of the I was the only science teacher at my school, actually. So I taught 7th through 12th grade science. I taught everyone.
Wow.
And that was kind of life-altering, mind-blowing experience teaching in rural Alabama. Yeah.
And sounds like an enormous amount of responsibility to lead the science program for the whole school.
Yeah.
At the age of
24, 23. Yeah. So that was a lot.
How did you find yourself looking into journalism?
Well, that was something that I was looking into when I was in Alabama. My students didn't have a lot and our school didn't have a lot and a lot of resources. Like I said, I was the only science teacher and, you know, all of our equipment was from like the 1960s. So we had 2 Bunsen burners and one of them didn't work. And just realizing how grossly unfair that was, that in a public school, you know, the resources can be so, you know, allocated so differently. With my experience in the classroom and things that were not being reported or being reported without very much accuracy, that kind of drew me toward journalism. And so I started looking into schools, but I was so busy teaching like 6 science classes that I said, okay, I need to like take a step back while I figure out which schools I need to apply to. So I'll take a less strenuous job in Oklahoma, do tutoring and work on my applications and figure out, you know, what programs are the ones I'm interested in. So I ended up at Berkeley, which is a 2-year program. Most programs are only a year or, you know, a year and a semester. So I knew I needed that time to really kind of dive in and understand, you know, how to produce pieces and all of that. And I can't imagine if I had gone to a 1-year program, what I would be doing right now. I'd be pulling my hair out. So, yeah.
What is it about the radio medium that you like in particular?
Yeah, I initially went in with the plan of studying documentary film, but I just kind of fell into radio. I have a musical theater background and have done a little bit of acting and performance, which has always been fun for me, but it was never really something that I wanted to turn into a career. I just kind of, it's kind of a fun side hobby. And so this kind of incorporated both my interest in journalism and then also, you know, performance and being able to, I like sound. It's fun to mix a piece and have the sound come up and go down and figure out how to use that to tell a good story. I found audio really appealing.
You know, part of the beauty of these fellowships and internships that Raven has had for almost over a decade, sorry Rob if I'm getting this wrong, is bringing in new perspectives into this one place. And what you're bringing in is something that is wholly yours. It's from your life experience, from your upbringing, and you're going to tell stories in a way that people never have conceived of before. And I'm really looking forward to hearing the work you're going to produce this summer. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're here for 10 weeks mm-hmm. to do this internship, and you're living on the Sheldon Jackson campus mm-hmm. in the same apartment where I was living when I was the Winter Fellow from 2014 to 2015. Uh-huh. That adorable apartment with the kitchen and the bedroom and the desk all in one place.
Yep.
What are some of the things that struck you so far about living out here, up here? You've never been to Alaska before?
I've never been to Alaska before.
This is certainly the furthest west you've been before.
Yeah. The wildlife and the salmon is amazing, obviously. The landscapes, I mean, you have everything. You have the ocean, you have the mountains, you know, you have these... I went on a beautiful hike a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it's just absolutely breathtaking, and everyone's so warm and welcoming, and it's just, it is a lovely place. I can already tell I'm going to enjoy all of my time here. And again, the wildlife is fascinating. I've already seen like 50 bald eagles, and which is amazing. And Jerry was just in here talking about how they're going on a bat run.
Yes. Oh, so you're interested in the bat monitoring project.
A little bit, I am. But I used to have bats in my house.
So you did?
I did, in Alabama.
How? Were they supposed to be there?
They were not supposed to be there. They built a colony in our chimney, and no one ever stayed there over the summer because it was a teacher house and people would go home. But I stayed there over the summer, and I think that they had been living there for a really long time, and they started coming into the house while I was there by myself and swooping down at me as I was, like, cooking spaghetti.
How many?
I found 14 in the house. In the house, but then when we finally got the specialists to come out and look, there were literally, what they said, I didn't get on the roof, hundreds inside our chimney lining, just like clinging to the brick, lining the walls. Yeah. But the problem was that the chimney was blocked by concrete at the bottom, so we couldn't do anything to like smoke them out and kind of like get rid of them.
How long did you live there?
2 years. Yeah.
Okay. So you lived for 2 years in a home where bats built a colony.
Yeah,
for themselves.
And we couldn't get rid of them. So kind of hung out.
What was your relationship like with these bats over time?
Well, I generally tried to leave them alone, or if they got into our house, get them outside if I could. But the reality was they were really kind of aggressive. I don't know why in this particular situation. Maybe they were sick. I thought they might have white nose syndrome for a while, but I don't know. Anyway, I hope not.
But it sounds like you kind of developed a love of bats, too.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by them. I mean, even though that was a horrifying experience, I definitely slept in my car a couple of nights, you know, and taped the doors of my room shut, taped myself in the room just so they wouldn't get in while I was sleeping. But I'm just definitely very fascinated by them. So that is interesting to me. I would love to cover that.
I think that would be a great story.
Okay.
But yeah, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Did you ever bake anything in the toaster oven in the apartment?
Ooh, you know, I have only toasted many slices of bread in that toaster oven, and perhaps attempted some kind of melting garlic bread situation in the toaster oven. I wasn't very adventurous with any of the kitchen appliances. my cooking life at the apartment, but you know, you get to know its quirks. Just like you got to know those bats.
Yep.
And the most living thing you'll see is really just the tongas growing outside your window. One morning I remember waking up, and you know how the light filters through the curtains mm-hmm. in this very kind of dreamy way? I look through the curtains and there's a deer very sweetly nibbling on some grass. That happened to you? You saw a deer?
Yeah, the first week I was here. Oh. I have video of it. I'm hoping maybe the next time it'll be a bear. I'm just maybe not hoping. I'm not hoping that.
Yeah, you're very much living among all the critters. But hopefully none will get into your chimney this time around. All right. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for coming on air.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Raven Radio. We're headed to the Writer's Almanac. Stay tuned.